Good morning. It's 7th of April. Our first reading for the day is Numbers 24 and 25. I'm going to read to you once again from Brother Harry Tennant. This is a continuation of the passage we looked at yesterday when we thought about Balaam and Balak. I read, "Whether Israel had seen the distant altars of Balak and Balaam, we are not told. Moses learned of the thwarted intentions of Moab and rested content in his God. But there were other ways of causing Israel to weaken in their purposes against Moab. Centuries before, the men of Shechem had tried to make a league with the sons of Jacob and to secure an alliance by marriages with a view to swallowing up the wealth of the family of God. Those purposes failed, though they almost succeeded through the falling away of Dinah, Jacob's daughter. It was now the turn of Moab to try similar tactics. The enticements had two main constituents, the daughters of Moab and the god of Moab. The men of Israel fell into the tempting trap. The strange women led them to the strange god of Peor, the god which had been unable to help Balak by sign or enchantment, was a powerful ally in the matter of yoking Israel to his ways and his women. The chief men of Israel were among the offenders. It would appear that those who engaged in these things stole away from the camp of God and practiced their wantonness and idolatry over the neighbouring border of Moab. Moses soon heard of the extent of the trouble, because the Lord's anger and plague were felt in the camp. The chief men were slain, and their heads displayed for all to see. This was a shocking sight, but no more so than the waywardness of the nation in the eyes of God. So brazen were some of the people that one man walked openly into the camp with his newfound Midianitish lover, and he did so at the very moment when Israel had gathered together at the door of the tabernacle, weeping because of the plague and the punishment of the chiefs. Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, followed with his spear and slew in the tent the pair who were a blot on Israel's face. Thus was the plague stayed, and Israel licked her wounds once more. The offending man and woman were among the nobility of their respective societies. The zeal of Phinehas was rewarded. God made a covenant with him to bless him and his seed in the priesthood. The extent of the idolatry of Israel is described in the Psalms. They joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. This was the depth of their fall. Sacrifices and grievous practices, together with the women of the land, had led them away from the righteousness and purity of God. They had passed from the living God and were seeking to the dead. In these things there is a terrible warning. The border which lies between ourselves and life outside holds many temptations. We are not likely to be ensnared if our eyes are inward, toward the camp, toward the tabernacle and its holiness. If our gaze turns away and roves over the pleasures and allurements of the nations around, we shall soon find opportunity to stray over the frontier to fellowship in the arms of death. There is no enchantment or purpose which can prosper against us if we remain with our God. There is no telling the powers and dangers which will take us if we turn aside our hearts from their resting place in God." And now, the days of wandering were drawing to a close. They were days on which they would look back with deep feeling. When they entered the land, the nation would never again, not even in its set feasts, experience the same sense of existing from day to day, dependent upon God's good gifts. We need always to remind ourselves of what God has done for us in his Son, that we remain in the camp and are not drawn away by the things of the world. Thank you for listening.